I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, Westworld fans. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Westworld After Show, where we are talking about the penultimate episode of Westworld Season 3. Of course, we're talking about Episode 7, Cast On. I am one of your hosts, Elena Jordan, joined by a myriad of wonderful people. Carrie Lane, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, good, thanks. I'm so glad to be here to talk about this episode because it's fun to talk about all of these. And I'm just ready to dive in.
I can't wait to dive in either. Nate Miller, what did you think about this episode?
It was good. I liked it a lot. I like this season. I'm excited to kind of crack open all the stuff this episode kind of revealed.
There was a lot too, so very glad that everyone's here. Of course, Alice Ford, who we lost for a little bit but is now reprinted, as you guys can see.
That's right. I thought I should rejoin the world as a host and help Dolores in her mighty cause to restart the world, so here I am in the non-flesh.
That would make me happy. And of course, Dolores can use all the help she can get. We're going to be talking about not only her storyline with Caleb and Maeve, but also kicking us off, we'll talk about William's storyline with Bernard and Stubbs. And of course, that crazy intro with Charlotte, Clementine, this whole fight. Of course, giving you guys some news and our final predictions of the season. So be sure to stick around for the entire show. Diving right in, though, William, what did you guys think about kind of this storyline of seeing the kind of intercutting? Because we didn't get too much of William and Bernard and Ashley, but we got just enough to know that we had the question answered, our big thing with Hale's pinprick and the blood. That was kind of explained a little bit more. Nate, what did you think about that? Because I know that was something that was kind of bothering you and me both. Last episode.
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
Having the explanation of the blood tracker of being able to hack the system and having to need his blood in order to actually hack the system.
I think, yeah. So they kind of clarified it, I guess. From what I understood, the blood, she was tracking the blood so that when it got to the system at the hospital in San Francisco, the system, it would flag in the system as one of the Class U people who had been rehabilitated, so that it would send a transfer to the Mexico place, which was she didn't know where that was. So that's what they were. She wasn't trying to track William to see where he ended up because she knew where he was going to be at. That's why she sent Dolores and, Bernard and Stubbs there. She just had to find out about the other place, which is where they went this Sonora. Episode. Yeah. Which is where his brother was, which is something that we had hypothesized before.
So were you satisfied with that explanation? It was somewhat brief, but it did kind of clarify a little bit. But was it enough for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's still pretty, like, it's still kind of, I don't know. I'm okay with it. It's still kind of fuzzy, kind of gray area-y, but it kind of makes sense. I think, again, it's still, like, it just like as they have in other seasons, like, playing with the timeline. One thing I realized that I didn't catch before was that William's treatment was 3 months. So there is some timeline stuff being at play here. Like all of these things are not happening at the same time. So trying to put that in perspective and understand the different locations and where they had to go and what Dolores' plan actually is, I'm still kind of like, okay, I guess that makes sense. That's what the blood tracker was for. Because it makes a lot more sense than so she could find William, because she already knows where William is. But now we know what she was actually trying to find. So yeah, it kind of makes sense to me. I'm okay with it. You were not buying it?
I thought that it made sense, but I didn't understand why they waited until this episode to explain it instead of just throwing that line in.
Yeah. To give people something to speculate. And I think also too, because it was because we didn't know where Dolores was going, and where whatever information she was tracking is where she was going. And that was like the big reveal of this episode of where they were going. So I think that's why they held it for this episode, so that it was like, well, where, what was she trying to get to? Well, this is the answer. And you need to get to this episode to know that. Otherwise you wouldn't have really have the context of like why it matters, why she's trying to go there.
That's fair. That makes sense. Now I'm also interested to know what you thought, Alice, of kind of this, this idea where we have Stubbs, because we've kind of been talking about some of the biblical connections, and you pointed some out too, when he's talking about, you know, looking over his flock, and then later William talking about his original sin being creating these guys. They were very heavy handed in this one, but also in a way that didn't seem too on the nose with adding in all of these little references. So what was your takeaway on that, Alice?
Well, I think the more that I watch Westworld, the more it does. It's all the question of like creation and like what our purpose is on the planet and why we're here. And obviously in this episode, we saw also a lot of similarities between like Caleb and hosts in general, and just, you know, people can be reprogrammed just as easily as a computer can be. So I like that there's such a bigger like story arc, I guess, in Westworld. It's not just, you know, there's more depth to it than just like a normal story. So I appreciate all those kind of like hidden meanings behind everything. I really like that.
Carrie Lane, were you kind of satisfied with this storyline and how it's kind of progressing? Like, we have this whole scene too of the, you know, of William saying he knows his purpose now. We've been seeing him say he's the good guy, quote unquote, and now he's saying he's gonna kill all of the hosts, starting with Bernard and Stubbs. What did you think of kind of this whole, because to me it felt kind of Walking Dead when they were walking to the gas station and everything too. So
did you see the sign?
Yes, with the from lab to slab, kind of the reference where Bernard was working.
And also too, even like that the gas station has all of the gas pumps all caged up and it's like all graffitied out, like who goes to gas stations? We all have electric cars now. Just great set design.
It was good attention, really good.
It's like watching a movie. This episode to me felt like a movie. Like obviously you had to have, you know, a prequel or something before, because there's so much setup to like understand what's going on, but there are so many things happening in the turn and the whole thing with Caleb and everything. They set up so much for future seasons in this episode too.
I like that the graffiti too said, did you not know this was coming? Because that kind of felt like then it was mirrored with then, you know, the gun being turned on Bernard and Ashley, where he's like, did you not know this was coming? Like, I told you guys. So what did you think of this storyline, Carrie?
Yeah. So, well, it's hard because they're the hosts, like Bernard and Stubbs, and we like them though. So I don't want them to die. And similar to the human beings, not all of them are bad. So the idea of wiping out all of them, I'm just not as thrilled with. But I did like, and I also don't know if I like William as our hero. I'm still suspicious of him, of that. I'm like, okay. I did like getting Caleb's backstory. I know earlier I was saying slow. Doesn't mean it wasn't interesting. Just pacing of watching was much more elongated, and the heavy tone of the music too, which was great, but it definitely slowed the pacing down a bit. Again, not less interesting, just one of those, the pacing was much more engaging and exciting once we got to the fight scenes, which for me was more of the highlight, and also seeing them, the two ladies pitted against each other, which was really great towards the end. But it was nice to really get all that concrete info on Caleb that we've been all speculating and wondering for a while now.
It's no, interesting. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, it's interesting to hear you say that, because my least favorite parts of the episode are the fight scenes, or at least I would say like the main fight scene between Dolores and Maeve. They were shot really well, and they were choreographed really well. But from a plot perspective, I really didn't enjoy that nearly as much as I did the explanation of Caleb. And even though I definitely agree, like momentum wise, it was definitely a drag, especially compared to the last few episodes that we've gotten. But like expositionally, plot wise,
oh,
I just
yeah.
found it to be so much more engaging. I'm just not, I mean, we can get into it later, but I have some issues with Maeve in this season.
Well, I want to dive into Caleb's storyline as well, because we also have juxtaposed with Bernard saying and explaining to Stubbs that Caleb is Dolores's plan. He's not just part of it. He is like the plan. The poetic sensibility is that she's not going to destroy humanity. She's going to let a human do it. Did you guys, you know, did you like how this was intertwined before we kind of dive into Caleb's story? We'll wrap up on William and Bernard here. Did you kind of like how that worked for this episode? Did you feel that we got enough of them, or would you guys have liked a little bit more? Alice?
I would have liked a little bit more. I agree with you guys about Caleb. It seems like whenever he's kind of in the story, his storyline is very slowly drawn out, even in some of the other episodes. So I wish they were a little bit quicker on that front as well. So yeah, I would have liked to see a little bit more of Bernard and Ashley and William.
What did you think, Carrie?
It was interesting getting such a heavy, well, it was nice to get such a heavy Caleb episode because we haven't gotten that backstory yet. But then it does thin out the amount of time we get with Stubbs and Bernard. And I've been finding their plot really interesting too, but I feel we're just getting such small little bits. I'm like, but, all right, well, I guess we'll find out more and get more from them in the finale, which is crazy that that's next. I'm like, wait, what? We're already done?
Yeah, it seems like there's more questions that have been asked. It doesn't seem like they'll be able to wrap it up in one, but they've always been able to before, so.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna question it too hard. Nate, it looks like you were gonna.
The big thing that I got from this episode is just like scope, and the overall scope, not only of the season and the story, but like for the show in general. And this is something that you know, Nolan and Joy have talked about before, and especially like with all the frozen bodies. And to me, this whole episode, this put the season in perspective for me of the whole story of this is just another like step in the tier of story of like robots are created, then the robots gain sentience, then the robots break out, then the robots stage a revolution, then the world kind of kicks over, and then all these frozen humans come back to a new world, you know, however many hundred years later that I think, you know, the next few seasons are going to take place in. So looking at it from that way, it kind of makes sense that we're focusing mostly on like Dolores and Caleb and stuff, because that's what's most important in this part right now is how we got here, is Dolores manipulating Caleb to end up doing whatever he does that causes this thing. And that's why that's focused on. I think whatever Maeve and whatever William will do in the future is going to be very important. So I think right now we're just kind of get a, like if you were looking backwards reading a history book, it's like, well, what were they doing this time while Dolores was doing all this stuff, kind of a thing, right?
Because meanwhile, to me, back at the ranch,
that's the right explanation. Because this, I mean, and this also ties into my issue with Maeve right now, is that I just don't buy the motivation that she, like this whole thing about the daughter, like she let the daughter go. I guess you want the key to be safe because you don't think it's safe in Dolores' hands, but why would it be safe in the humans' hands? And they just wiped out all of the other hosts except for the two other ones that are now with you. So it's literally just the four of them plus Dolores' mysterious other copy that we don't know about. I really think Maeve is going to end up flipping and helping Dolores in the end or something, because I don't understand why. I get the whole, like, she's mad that Hector is dead, but that wasn't even her. And I don't know.
It was a version
of her. It feels very forced for Maeve. Like, they have a place that they want her to be later, and they were just like, well, let's just give her some stuff to do this season. Even though she looks badass and the fight scenes are really cool, I just don't buy the motivation. I'm very into the premise, though, of two opposing actualized robots fighting in this war between these companies that are controlling the world, like that whole part of me, my sci-fi,
but not the actual fight
nerd, right? But when you get into the actual, like just those two characters, it's just like I just don't buy that Maeve that we know from season one and season two doesn't actually have a conversation with Dolores when they confront in this episode and go, wait a minute, you're right, he did just in like a 2-minute sequence wipe out all of the other hosts. Just whoosh, just gone.
Well, to be fair,
story. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, to be fair, Dolores had killed Maeve like a couple episodes ago. But yeah, it is just like, who's death gonna be brainwashed better, really. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I just like death. That Nate's least favorite part, or his favorite part of this whole episode is the scope, the metaphorical scope, and your least favorite part is the literal scope that we see during the fight. And also, that moment was your least favorite part of this episode, of our after show episode. But yeah, since we've been kind of talking about Caleb and talking about this storyline, let's dive right into it, because this is kind of the meat of this whole episode. And Carrie, I kind of see where you're coming from, because they kind of had it broken into two different parts with Caleb, where we had the flashback scenes with Caleb, then we had the current Caleb. So I get, because it had so many flashbacks and so many repeats of the same lines, it could kind of seem a little bit monotonous, but I understand why their point was that it had to be repetitive for him to be told this story and to believe it. But what did you think, Alice? Did you think that that was a little bit too, did you think that that drew out the pace too much, having those flashback scenes that kept repeating?
I don't know. I mean, we've kind of seen those the entire season, of like him flashing back to those pivotal moments of like, was Francis, how did Francis die? Is that how he died? And people posing the question of, hey, what happened to Francis? Is it really how you remembered it? So I think that they're important. I mean, they go along with what we've seen the rest of the season, so I wasn't surprised by them and they didn't bother me. I liked that we saw how much he had been brainwashed, and that we finally saw the real story, because we've also been on this ride with him of trying to figure out like what of your memories are in the right order and, you know, which ones aren't. So I enjoyed like following along, I guess, in his own mind.
Now, this was kind of interesting, getting this whole flashback with Dr. Green and, you know, the Crimea-Russian thing. And ultimately, we find out that Whitman, who we've seen little flashes of, who I just love because I love Veronica Mars, so I was like, shut up, Dad. But seeing that he's actually the one who kind of tipped Caleb off, and that this Rico app is actually part of this whole control. Was this surprising to you? Because to me, it kind of made sense, because the whole time I was thinking, well, if Rehoboam knows everything, how does it not know that there's a crime app that, you know, that it could track? So did this make sense to you, that this was actually something that was being used to manipulate the outliers?
Go ahead.
I thought this was like the earlier stages, so it didn't have all the particulars worked out just yet. But yeah, this is a good point of like, shouldn't you have known? But maybe this is one of those testing out one of the options of what could happen, and then taking that data and making new predictions.
The idea,
which we obviously know there's been a bunch of different predictions and a bunch of different outcomes that they've programmed for in case of, you know, changes and outliers or whoever else, I guess, that changed the system.
The idea of Insight running the app makes so much sense. It is incredible. It is such good writing. Not only does it make sense for them to create the app, I don't think that they 100% drive all of what goes through it. It would make more sense for other people to still be able to post jobs and stuff. But if you think about it, who are the people that are going to use the jobs for the app? It's all the Class U people, which is all the people that Rehoboam Insight has either reprogrammed or is trying to reprogram or is in their system in some way. So essentially, this is their Black Ops shadow unit where they can have. And so this also reframes all of the stuff that we've seen this season of all of the times he's done these jobs, mm-hmm. and the stuff with Marshawn Lynch and all the stuff that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Which also makes you wonder, like, is that going to be, I'll kind of save this for predictions, but is Ash and Giggles, are they going to be kind of liberated the way that the hosts were by getting kind of the second wave? And we've already seen that information in some quantities can undo the earth, but can more information on top of that fix it, or does it just make it worse?
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a part of it. I think it also depends on what the other characters' relationships are with their drip, because that's the other thing that's this. Mm-hmm. This is why I like this episode so much, because this is why I like Westworld, because now I can go back and watch the first six episodes and it's going to be completely different, having the context of Caleb and insight and what's going on. And that's why I love this show, being able to look back and see that stuff. That's what's like, my mind is like,
I'm kind of mad that I didn't predict it. Oh, go ahead.
Well, question for all of you and then people watching. Something that's interesting for this show is watching it on the weekly and having that time to digest. But then when you go back and watch it as like just a binge watch, it's a completely different experience. And I don't know if any of you have done it like that, have rewatched it. And does changing it, how you watch it and how frequently in terms of binge or over a week, change your experience?
Certainly.
Yeah, I think every time I rewatch it, I discover something new. Even this one, when we're like going back to, because I went back and watched some scenes of Armistice and the samurai world counterpoint. Mm-hmm. As soon as we saw that that was the additional pearl, I was like, oh, I need to watch that scene again. But I'm excited to, like you said, Nate, after this entire thing, to just go back from the very beginning and watch through.
Yeah, but to like what you said, Carrie, even like for people, I recommend when I tell them to like get into the show, I try to tell them, don't binge it, just watch it one episode at a time and kind of give it time to breathe. Because one of the things that makes the show so enjoyable is that kind of pondering of like, what if? And when you hammer them back to back, you kind of lose that. It's still an enjoyable story, but you lose some of that kind of magic that makes the reveals much more you get more invested in the reveals. So yeah, especially if you're not re-watching, I would encourage you to like space it out. That's what I tell people.
Now there's another cool element that I liked in this episode in particular. We were kind of touching on it, of the parallels between the hosts and the humans. And we've seen that throughout this whole series, but we actually had it explained to us, like fully fledged, spelled out, when Caleb was saying, you know, I'm just a construction worker. This is the part that I've been assigned. And then later finding out that this was a reassignment of character, when Dolores then also echoes, I played a bit part for 35 years. It wasn't until the time came that I knew that I needed to be more. What did you guys think of having kind of these moments, because it is really late in the season, where this is explained out? Did you feel it was too on the nose, or did you feel it was just enough? Alice?
I think it was just enough. I mean, I think also we finally get a real explanation as to why Dolores chose Caleb. Dolores chose Caleb because Caleb is so similar to the life she's had as a host, where his memory has been scrambled and he's unsure of which timeline is which and what really happened when and to who and whatever. And so I think in her mind, he was the obvious choice for someone that could align so well with what the struggles hosts have gone through and why they want to start a revolution. So to me, I was like, oh, exactly. Now you're showing us like the full picture of what really happened to Caleb, and we're seeing how similar he really is to Dolores and the rest of the host. So yeah, I liked that part. I thought it was important.
So Caleb was always Dolores's plan, right? Okay. So that means that they didn't meet by chance, right?
Is anything by chance?
So does that mean that Dolores was like using her influence over insight to get him to be on that job so that he would be there to meet her?
If she had access to insight and was able to program the app, then it would make sense that was sent specifically to him. So, and it also would make sense why we saw the graffiti of the maze there, because we've been wondering why in these key moments we've been seeing the maze pattern replicated. Right there is like, oh, this was not by chance. This was a calculated.
You know what I realized the other day? Have you looked at the Insight logo? It's a maze.
Yep.
It's literally a world maze. They have the whole world in a maze. It's and been right in front of us the whole time.
Well, and even the taxi, I mean, the ambulance with Dolores and Caleb, it's like, I don't think that, you know, none of it was an accident.
No, it was all very, very deliberate. Mm-hmm. So did you guys think too, having this whole kind of breakdown with, you know, the Jean-Mi being addressed directly by the Serac projection and showing, you know, this was not the variation that was going to come to fruition where things were a-okay. Did you feel that this was a good wrap up, being the second to last episode that we see this reveal of, you know, the efficacy rate being only 1 out of 10 and all of these people here? Did you feel that this was echoing enough that you felt that the rally behind Caleb, or did it still feel a little disjointed because we've seen kind of the breakdown between Maeve and Dolores and this, the kind of polarizing effects of this information? I mean, what were your kind of takeaways on this, Carrie?
Well, it makes me think of that moment when Caleb asked Dolores how many more people are going to die. And, you know, so it's like he's definitely still following along with the plan, but I don't think he wants just random innocent people to die. But I guess nobody in this world is very random. I think it's here's all this information, as Nate was saying earlier, all this exposition, so that the last episode really is going to be a roller coaster of going through all the new information we know, probably more information given to us then, and all the other pieces that we maybe were like, how do these fit together, that then they'll finally fall into place. So I feel this is a pretty good springboard moment for what the last episode will be.
It makes me want to go back and watch the Decoherence episode as well, because when we have Solomon flat out say the final plan, you know, this final projection that he's going to run, he's like, well, this is already decohered from this world. So this is something that they've not predicted. This is going to be something brand new, because like a chess board, if these pieces have been removed, if the main pieces have been removed, you have to find fill-ins and move things around. So I'm interested to see how this expands. I know, though, for what I thought was one of the coolest scenes, this fight between Maeve and Dolores, I thought that it was this really cool thing of, you know, tech versus tech, you know, the drone versus the gun, these different things, and Dolores having her arm blown off, and then finally the EMP being pushed and the electromagnetic pulse shutting them down. I thought it was really cool, but Nate, were you satisfied with that moment of when we think that Maeve is going to just KO Dolores, then they're both shut down?
With you mean with Chekhov's EMP?
Yeah.
Walk in. Is that a military grade EMP?
EMP?
Oh, well,
I know. I was like,
that's going to be pushed later in the episode. Yeah, I mean, it was all, I liked it. It was cool. It was a good way to have, in my mind, as like crafting the plot, it's a cool way to have your two characters that eventually have to fight, have a cool fight and confrontation that doesn't have to just end, you know, the situation between them. It's a nice like, all right, cool, you guys got to fight, you got to say some words, you got your arm blown off, it looked really cool. Cool, here's a pause button for that. Come back next episode, you know, you can get rebuilt again, we can rebuild you again, and you guys can fight again, it'll be cool, like version two,
round two.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I'm just really like, Maeve, go team Dolores, just not team Serac. Like, I just, the more that we learn about Serac, to me he is the clear bad guy, and I get Maeve being against Dolores. I get them being, they're different personalities. I get them being at each other's throats. But I think in this case, they need to be together, even if it's just so they can be separate later on. It just doesn't, I'm just not buying her being against Dolores and this whole plan and everything. Why hasn't Maeve been like, what do you get from this, Serac, outside of like the data that you want? But like, what do you want the date for? She hasn't asked any questions like that. It just flies in the face of her season one plot line of, no, I'm not going to get on the train as I was directed to do all this stuff to get off the island. You know, I'm going to stay on the island and go after my daughter, kind of a thing, right? Like,
the
she
reason
made the-
that I'm going to kind of disagree with you a little bit on this one. The reason that I think that it kind of sets it up, and this again, because we saw so much Caleb, we didn't get to dive too much into this plot line, which
right,
I'd like to trail into too. But Charlotte being so anti-Dolores now, she's clearly teamed up with Maeve, because we see the intro scene where she, you know, deploys Clementine who Maeve has recreated. So it seems like Maeve has been reinforced where one of Dolores's spawn children, one of her clones that she even says, you know, you didn't want people to die. Well, what about the clones that you sentenced to death? She kind of sees this as you didn't even have any real people to bring back, any real hosts to bring back. You replicated yourself. And then you took the people that I wanted to bring back, Hector, and then potentially Clementine, and then, you know, all of these allies that she's had. Mm-hmm. She sees Dolores as just being selfish and in it for Dolores. Yeah. You know, so she's saying,
I get that. I just am baffled at her completely ignoring the total extermination of the rest of her kind at the hand of her employer. That's the part for me. Like, I'm also, to be honest, I'm also a little disappointed in the show in general that they made such a small moment of that. I feel like, you know, in a 10 or 12 episode season, that would have been a whole episode where it culminates in the end of all the hosts dying. Like, it was just kind of brushed over. And for a show that so much, like, the hosts have been the central character and driving plot point, for it to just be kind of like, all right, cool, all the other hosts except for the ones right now are gone. It's like, really? That was tough for me. But I get it. I just wish that Maeve would consider outside of, like, what Dolores is doing. And my thing with the Hale character is, based on what she was saying, I don't think that she's with Maeve. I think she's acting almost as a third party now, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Mm-hmm. So giving them that information, yep, to try to slow other Dolores' plan, because she says she wants to streamline operations. So I think her plan is to still do whatever Dolores' plan was. It's just, instead of main Dolores being, like, the person in charge, she wants to kind of take in and take advantage of whatever situation Dolores is trying to make. That's how I read that.
I agree with you, but I feel like from Maeve's perspective, she's thinking, okay, one of Dolores's creations is even saying we have to stop this person. So that's just reinforcing her idea of I'm the good guy. It's all these people thinking that they're the good guy, that they're fighting for the right thing without actually listening to each other. Which was kind of, you know, the whole thing that Solomon was saying is the separation. I did like, too, before we dive fully into that intro scene, what did you guys think about this line? We kind of touched on it, the Rico app manipulating people and how Insight was able to manipulate people. Every human relationship can be adjusted with the right amount of money. That to me felt like something that was kind of skimmed over, but it seemed like that is the intrinsic 100% message. True.
I was going to go rest to tweet that, but then I was like, nah.
Haven't you guys watched Tiger King?
Yes.
I was curious on that.
Another person who lost their arms.
It's 100% true. With any amount of money, for certain.
Look at Alice, tribute to Dolores. Arm free.
Oh, no.
Been disarmed.
It was a very interesting point, and I guess sadly for some people too, depending on how much it was, but you would still want that humanity there, that some people would be like, I couldn't betray my whoever they care about. But I guess from a computer standpoint, from a digital standpoint, it's just data of, yes, they would.
But also, isn't Maeve really like fighting Dolores also because Serac said, you're not going to get to your daughter unless you fight Dolores, because I have the key to the Valley Beyond.
But in season 2,
he's kind of buying her.
But she was like, and she was making a sacrifice to be like, I don't need to be there, you can be there. Like, I didn't.
It makes sense to me. She's saying it's going to be destroyed fully. Like, she's going to be wiped from existence, because in her mind, then that means that, you know, this Valley Beyond is basically their afterlife.
Right.
And this is saying we're stripping them of even that. And with all of these kind of religious allegories on top of it, the idea that you're going to lose your entire afterlife where your child went.
Yeah.
You know, that is such a traumatic thing for her to grasp, because to her, she sacrificed her
kid. I don't know why she would think to echo
what Nate was saying earlier, I do agree that I would want Maeve. It is weird that she's not asking any questions. I mean, yes, Dolores is trying to kill her multiple times, but Maeve has been often a character to question what someone is doing and bring up, like, well, why? And how much did she really question Serac too? Of like, this one person is telling you information, and she never goes, I mean, yes, she maybe has her suspicions, but
it also seems like the emotion drives her to not necessarily be completely clear rationally, which we see with Caleb too. I mean, he's not really asking any questions at the
and
end.
With Hale,
we see him.
Also.
Yeah, and Hale. Mm-hmm. We see, you know, the end of Caleb's storyline in this episode is his, you know, determined slow motion walk while we have the virtual assistant. Like, I have some instructions for you. Do you think he's going to be like, well, virtual assistant, I have some questions. It's like he was about to be warned that there's something epic. Here's the catch from Solomon. And then it shut down. He's like, don't care, going in.
I just think I would have bought the motivation a little bit more if Serac had like actually tortured her in VR. And then she took the attitude of like, this is what I have to do. Like, I'm resigned to do this because I have no other choice. This is kind of what I have to do kind of a thing. I think would feel a little bit better of pitting them against each other instead of her like snarkily being like, well, your copy killed my friend. And it's like, okay, well, your boss killed all of our people. So.
And also we're reprinted a lot. And then, you know, Hector's gone, but everyone's gone. And
can't
we can't
the
reprint
Pearl,
them
though.
Now. Yeah, that's
that
true.
Was,
but
I mean,
if you reprint
the
any
Pearl
of them now, they're
up.
All gone. Yeah, it's messed up.
Charlotte saved a backup of everything at Della. So
she saved a backup of, from what I understand, that host data is like how to like the technology, like how to make the host, how to make
how
like
to
that stuff, not the like
actual profiles.
It's the manual, not the data. It's the manual, not the actual files. Which we know now the bodies and the files have been destroyed. So any last thoughts on that before we kind of dive into this intro scene, this Jakarta scene where we find out officially who Maeve printed, Clementine and Honorio. Any last thoughts on Caleb before we kind of dive into this intro scene? All right, then let's go into it. What did you think of the episode kicking off with this, but then never coming back to it? Having Sato completely cut in half, bisected, and dragged away.
And decapitated.
Yeah, this whole fight sequence. Did you feel that this was... Because to me, even with the briefcase kind of turning into the gun, it felt like, oh, okay, we're going to get into this. But then we never came back to it. And with there only being one episode left and so many other questions opened up with both of the other storylines, it makes me wonder if there's going to be enough time for this one.
I think it's just more set up for the finale so things kind of make more sense. Because essentially we really don't like we have a somewhat idea of what Dolores's plan, but we really don't know what Dolores's plan is up until now, the last episode. Everything is going to kind of play out, I'm assuming. So this kind of sets up, we get that little bit of dialogue. He says, have you found his location? Is everything in order? And then tells the guy, like, you know, if you're not successful, don't come back. So whatever he is sending somebody off to do, because even when he gets confronted and they like, they're about to kill him, he's like, well, my plans are already underway, so you can tell him that you failed. So whatever happened here is going to happen next episode. And without this, we would have been like, all right, well, when did that happen? Or how did she do that? Or whatever. So this is kind of like setting that up. Also, I think it was important in this episode to essentially, now there's only Dolores and Haloris left of the copies that we know about. There's Clementine, Samurai World Clementine, and Maeve, and Stubbs and Bernard. And that's all the hosts. That's all of them. So we saw them, all the living hosts this episode. That, I forgot where I was going with that.
I thought she was the samurai snake lady. Because she has the dragon.
Yeah. You're right.
The Armistice.
I thought it was a great introduction for them, but it definitely was a, okay, this is really cool, push pause, we'll come back to them later. Because it was like, oh, really, are we gonna, oh, we don't get anything more from them on this episode, but it was nice to be like, oh, that's who was brought back, because we have been speculating who it was gonna be, and Maeve made some good choices, because they did a really good job, though. Anybody else felt this moment when Clementine was on the staircase? Like, I thought the gun pointed at her from Sato would have hit her way more than it did.
Well,
they seemed so much closer.
Well, they show her at the end, and she's riddled with bullets. She's just wearing a dark colored thing, so you don't see
it. Okay.
But when you see her, she is like, which she is riddled.
I thought she only got shot once. I missed
it. Yeah, go back and watch it. The shoulder's the only one you see. I wish they would have put her in a white dress so you would have seen all of the bullet holes. Because you really have to go. If you go back and watch it, though, you'll see at the very end when Hanarayo has like the head and she's like,
okay.
And she's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's very.
Because otherwise, they seemed like this close. And I'm like, how did he miss? But okay, thank you.
Yeah, don't worry. It wasn't like a stormtrooper situation.
Yeah.
It was a really cool opening sequence.
It was a cool opening sequence.
I remember, I was going to say that this is, again, setting up for the other Dolores host copy in Berlin that we don't know about now in the finale.
I'm excited to see just this whole thing. I like all of, you know, the allegories, the references. The whole thing with Solomon, though, I thought was interesting too, that they were really focusing on that, because in the, you know, in the scripture of King Solomon, it was his death that split the United Monarchy, and Rehoboam only ruled one part of Jerusalem, where Jeroboam ended up being the second, and then they were never together again. So it was like, as soon as Solomon, like the EMP crushed it, it was like, oh, these two worlds can never be united. Like, this is the full death of Solomon. It's really, really cool. I liked it a lot. Any last thoughts? I know we're kind of running out of time here, and we got some cool news that
Solomon talking about, like, questioning whether or not this is actually happening, or this is like one of the simulations that he's running. That was cool.
This is really here, really now. I that caught cool. that. I liked that a lot. Well, Alice, you got some news for us, right?
I do have some news, guys. Get excited, because Westworld was just renewed for season 4.
Woohoo!
So there'll be more episodes to come. Maybe what we saw at the beginning of today's episode won't be in next week's episode, but next season. Who knows? Oh, so no. That's my first news. Whenever we start shooting again in the movie industry, we can stay tuned for that. The other news is that Thandie Newton actually recently said that she was very surprised by her recent foray into becoming an action star at the age of 47. So she said, you know, all these this role in Westworld has been amazing. I've loved all the action, but I wish I had done roles like this in my 20s and not waited until I was almost 50. So keeping up with the physique of that role has been a challenge for sure. The other news is Ed Harris also said that he actually hasn't really been that happy with his character in season 3. So we all know he signed on to be the villain, and as we're seeing now, he may become the hero of the world. So we'll see what happens with that. And the last thing I wanted to note was just, if you guys are interested in stay-at-home activities right now, HBO actually has a Westworld VR experience that you can do if you have a VR headset. It's available on Oculus, Steam, and Vport. This is not sponsored or anything like that, guys, but just a cool thing that you can do if you're a Westworld fan, and you can go in there and solve puzzles, survive battles, and interact with hosts. So it sounds pretty cool.
Ooh, I love that. I want to do that. I predict that I'll be playing that a lot, which leads us into...
I think I might download it on my Oculus.
I've been living for VR. It's just like my life now. I only step out to then watch Westworld, which is about VR. But what do you guys think is going to happen in our final episode, the finale? In other words, I'm asking, what are our AfterBuzz TV predictions? Sound effect predictions. Nate, what do you think is going to happen?
Honestly, I'm like really hesitant to even predict, because there's still so much in the air. I'm holding hope that Maeve is going to join Dolores. I think Dolores, like, betraying Dolores is a part of Dolores's plan somehow. Mm-hmm. I think that final clone of Dolores might just be like regular Dolores, but she's like hidden in a bunker somewhere, because my last prediction is that there's going to be a big time skip after this season. I think we're going to see a leading into a huge like revolution that maybe causes an apocalypse or something like that. And I think all of those frozen class U people are going to be either awoken at the end of the season, or like it's going to it's going to be like 100 years later and they're all going to awaken or something like that. I think we're seeing right at the end of a time skip of some big event that is going to happen. What it is, I got no idea.
So the people are going to thaw out as soon as the plot heats up.
Like a nice one.
Oh man. One more episode.
Are you going to miss them?
One more episode.
Alice, what are your predictions for the finale?
Oh my gosh. Well, I kind of think that Dolores is maybe actually going to die soon in this next episode, just because, I mean, she did kind of predict it so many times in this episode. She kept saying, oh, she's here to kill me and you need to take this over because I'm not going to be around. So I think she may not be around. I think Bernard and Maeve may end up being the last two hosts standing. And I agree with Nate. I think that the people in cryo are going to melt. And yeah, I don't know what other predictions I have. I think I still have to think about it a little bit more.
Well, you better think hard because you only have 7 days before the finale.
That's right.
Carrie Lane, what are your predictions?
Oh man, it's hard to speculate, but I'm glad to know there'll be a season four, because maybe if some things don't get wrapped up enough, that would lead into the next one, but we'll have to be waiting for quite some time. I guess Dolores at this point is, she doesn't want to die, but I think she is prepared to if this is going to go as her plan is going. I want to know what this plan is that was given to Caleb and on the hard drive that he has, and can he really execute this plan properly? And then with Hale, yeah, I don't know. I still think she's is turning against Dolores, but maybe more to do her own thing. And then Maeve, yeah, I hope her and Dolores can have a moment where they're like, okay, but why are you doing this? If that'll happen, I don't know, but I would like to see it.
Me too.
I think it's gonna happen, especially too, watching the making of this episode. If you guys didn't see it, I definitely recommend watching it at the mm-hmm. end, and having Helen Shaver, the director, in there, and then Lisa Joy coming in and kind of talking about all of these forms of fiction that have women pitted against each other. And, you know, the system is corrupt because it takes the good people within it and turns them against each other. So I think having the right information distributed can actually save the world, while having the wrong information at the right time can destroy it. So I'm just very excited to see the finale. I cannot wait. But I know that we have to.
I just want to say real quick, just like what Alice said of Dolores dying, you know, we see in the teaser next week, Dolores is putting on her like skin onto that like all new metal body and frame. And then if you've been looking at the cover of the season, like obviously it looks like a host body, but especially now that she's in the metal frame and with the idea of that, like time is going to pass at the end of this season, like we could be looking at the frame of Dolores's body, and I think that she's going to die and will live again much later on to return as a character, but I do think for sure that she will die in some way, or this iteration of Dolores will die in some way at this season.
Well, we want to know what you guys think too, so tweet us your thoughts. Nate Miller, where can everybody keep up with you?
Guys, you can find me everywhere at Dog Like Nate.
And Alice Ford, where can everybody keep up with you?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Alice L. Ford and on YouTube at Alice Ford Adventures.
And where can we find you, Miss Carrie Lane?
Yes, you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you can find us all back here next week for the season 3 finale of Westworld. Whoop, whoop. Until then, we love you guys. Stay safe.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its...